Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
In exactly 1 week, we'll be talking about the first round of the NFL draft. And to that end, this hour, this final hour of the week, we are going to spend some time on the NFL draft through the eyes and words of those teams that are picking near the top. There is plenty of intrigue, though it's been relatively quiet. Be very quiet. We're hunting rabbits. People sometimes ask me my favorite cartoon of all time. That's not it. But I every now and then can regurgitate these lines from when I was a kid. Be very quiet. Is that Elmer Fudd?
I believe so.
Can you bring back that iconic line? Be very quiet. It's a radio show, so we can't be very quiet. Another one that I love is Suffer and Succotash, which is that Daffy Duck?
That's Sylvester, I believe.
Oh, is that Sylvester?
The cat, yeah.
Wait, is it the cat? I thought it was a duck.
No. He has that like accent, that lisp, but...
Lisp.
Lisp.
But, are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Jay and I came from different cartoon generations, though. Jay is more of a SpongeBob SquarePants guy.
I am indeed. Yes. That was my bread and butter.
And Finding Nemo.
That's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Right. My favorite cartoon of all time is Scooby-Doo. Not the new one. The original.
I used to watch the OG Scooby-Doos.
Oh, man.
All the time.
My brother and I could sit there and watch Scooby-Doo for hours on a loop.
So my best friend growing up, and still to this day, he used to always tell me that he had seen every single episode of Scooby-Doo.
What?
Never missed one. I always thought, I was just very jealous of that fact. I never could fact check him on it or anything. But he used to say, I'd be one on. He'd be like, oh, yeah, I saw this one. I saw this one. But you see this one? I saw this one. Used to say he watched every single Scooby-Doo episode ever. But that was really impressive.
I don't know that I can say that about Scooby-Doo. I can say it about Friends, though. Mm. All 10 seasons. I can quote most of them. It was the last comedy on TV I ever watched. I don't watch them anymore. Well, Seinfeld retired not long after that. So I guess those two.
Those are the classics.
It was Friends and Seinfeld.
Started
and that,
all.
That was it for me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network. I feel like you have to say it with a flair. And it's our Friday. It's your Friday. It's Friday for everyone. But we're an hour away from the weekend, so eek.
Ooh.
No. Oh, see, is that George? Yes. I will hug him and squeeze him and call him George.
What a cute little pink bunny rabbit. I will name him George, and I will hug him and pet him and squeeze him.
That's Bugs Bunny.
Yes.
Yes. Right. Okay, so see, every now and then I can get the cartoon references right, but it's not my department. I can't help it. Suffer and succotash. Now I need to hear all these lines. But it kind of doesn't go along with our theme of this show, so I feel bad. Interspersing cartoons with the pain and suffering of sports fans who've been left in the lurch by departing teams. That's our question.
Suffer and succotash.
I do.
You did. But I'm still waiting for the be very quiet. When do we get some Elmer Fudd? or some Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Both are welcome.
Oh, no. What is happening to the show right now? This is where my spaghetti plate brain really does run counterintuitive to what I'm trying to do here on the air. This is how it works with my brain. If you give me one thought, or if I have a thought, I hear something, you pull that piece of spaghetti off the plate, maybe you wind a couple of pieces of spaghetti on a fork, and just a whole plops of spaghetti come off the plate. All these
be
various
very,
thoughts.
Very quiet.
We're hunting wabbit. I mean, stop it, Amy. You're losing audience members as you speak.
Be very, very quiet.
I can't, though, because it's a radio show, so I really can't. Can we possibly do an hour open production that would do nothing but cartoon lines?
Yes.
I bet you can, because
I can do that.
You're brilliant at this. All right. The reason we're talking about painful relocations and teams left in the lurch is because the latest is the Arizona Coyotes. It's now official. The NHL Board of Governors has approved the Coyotes' move to Utah as part of a sale to the owners of the Utah Jazz. It's all going, except for the arena. Oh, and apparently, except for Shane Doan's retired number. Oh, my gosh. Here I am thinking, erroneously, that the franchise gifted one of the best players in its history the banner with his retired number. Oh, no, that's not what happened. By virtue of our conversation with longtime Coyotes broadcaster Todd Walsh, we found out that is not what happened. The Coyotes should be ashamed of themselves. Anyway, I digress. You're going to hear part of my conversation with Todd. His farewell tribute, an emotional one, from the arena, Mullet Arena, not an NHL venue, which is part of the problem, but it was home to the Coyotes for several years. And because they found out in the 11th hour that they were moving, that was likely to happen, they didn't have much time to adjust, was on their most recent road trip that the team found out, fans found out after that. He took the opportunity on the air Wednesday before he signed off to pay tribute, to tell his story, share his connections. He's been with the team since day one. When we heard it, and gosh, the video has gone viral now. It's been seen more than 2 million times. It's on our show Twitter if you want to watch it, at Amy After Hours. We decided we wanted to hear from him personally, and he was gracious enough, despite not sleeping since Wednesday night. He joined us after a gathering at Shane Doan's house just a couple hours ago from the desert. Tired, to be sure, still emotional, willing to share his perspective as well as the emotion of the fans. And we kept him longer than we normally do with interviews. He was here with us for more than 20 minutes because what he had to say was compelling. And we're going to bring back part of that here on the show. But that's why we're asking you about painful relocations. Or maybe relocations and franchises taking off to another city and they just really didn't make sense anyway. I'll just volunteer to start. My first real memory with this, as a sports fan, but also as a New Englander, the Hartford Whalers departing for Raleigh, North Carolina in the late 90s. I didn't even understand it. Why are they leaving? Now, this is long before I was working full-time in sports. In fact, I was not in the business at the time. I was part-time doing internships and stuff. So I really didn't get the economics, nor could I comprehend why a franchise that seemed so beloved was picking up and moving. And, you know, that was kind of a stretch in the NHL where it happened 2 to 3 times. It felt like 2 to 3 times a year, either a expansion franchise or a franchise moving, and it was hard to keep up. And I know many of you in NHL cities have experienced that, but it's certainly not unique to hockey. So we've asked you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page about the most painful relocations and the answers. There are some common ones that, of course, you'll think of right away. Cleveland, losing its football team to Baltimore and then just having no team for, what was it, three seasons? Strange. A passionate, long-suffering, devoted dog pound and fan base was without a team in one of the most established divisions in all of football. Now, we've seen the reboot of all these various divisions, but that's a team that has meant so much to the league, to football. Its story is, it's unmatched. There's no other story like it in the NFL. And football just disappeared when the franchise moved. Now, ultimately, they were able to get a new team that kept the old history, which was, yeah, which was different as well. Baltimore also went through it, though. And that was the reason, right? That was the reason why the team moved, kind of, is that Baltimore lost its team under cover of night to Indianapolis. And this was kind of the way of the NFL to sort of make up for it. But it doesn't ever really work out that seamlessly. How about more recently, the Chargers leaving for L.A., joining the Rams, who are going back to L.A., the Raiders hightailing it out of town for Vegas, and now potentially the A's by virtue of a couple years in Sacramento. They'll finally get there to Vegas, maybe. So there's a lot of stories. Some of you go back even farther. But whether it's the economics, whether it's an owner who just wants to be somewhere else, I would say one of the most passionate responses that I've ever encountered in my time in this business, Seattle, losing the Supersonics, the franchise getting purchased by an Oklahoma City billionaire, a businessman that from my time in Oklahoma, I knew him well, knew of him. His reputation preceded him. Oklahoma City was desperate for a pro team, especially after having had had a taste of it post-Hurricane Katrina with the New Orleans franchise and really, really wanted a pro team. And this businessman in Oklahoma purchased the team and moved them immediately. And I'm not sure Sonics fans have ever gotten over it. As Jay was reminding me earlier, they still sell Supersonics jersey like the team is still there. I actually was in Seattle not long before that happened. And I remember talking to fans and passionate about it, loved their team. And so this is tough. It's often that we hear athletes say it's a business. And that's true. And we encounter that as fans when our favorite players either get cut or traded or they re-sign somewhere else in free agency. That all happens. And it's kind of a jolt into our fandom. But this is a different side of it. This is kind of the reminder that many owners, if forced to choose, are going to choose the bottom line over the fans every time. And that they can tell you all the reasons why this is better for the fans. We're doing it for the fans. But these are still businessmen and women and families. And if they're not committed or tied to a particular place, like for instance, never. And I know you're not supposed to ever say never, but I'm saying never. The Steelers would never leave. The Rooney family would never move the Steelers somewhere else. That's ridiculous. And so not the same situation as the Arizona Coyotes, but still for a franchise that's kind of been on the precipice and on the cusp, but it's been rumored many times, it's been a roller coaster ride. Now, the former owner, Alex Morello, did an interview on Arizona Sports 98.7 with Burns and Gambo, and he really does have this dream of bringing hockey back to the desert.
My intent is to use the first the full 5 years, okay. And not only that, but work with the NHL. You will see tomorrow during the interviews and the statement that we're going to have with Gary Bettman and myself. You'll see the commitment from Gary, how important it is to him, because he believes in Arizona, and he's right. He's been here for 20 years, constantly advocating for the hockey team, and he's told me when I first bought the team that this is his dream, and he's had so much invested. We are all committed on getting this thing done.
So then why didn't it work? That's the tough part. Why didn't it work? And I asked that question of Todd Walsh when he joined us earlier on the show. But if you missed the video or his tribute that went viral on social, the very last minute of it, after he had talked about his perspective and about what the team had meant to him, he kind of finished up with a story that brought a lot of people to tears.
I'm going to go back to a story that I love to tell. It's about the Hall of Fame coach, the late, great Fred Shero, back in the mid-70s, the head coach of the Broad Street Bullies, the Philadelphia Flyers. He walked into the room before the Stanley Cup clinching game, and he walked up on a chalkboard, and he wrote this. It's my favorite quote in all of hockey. Win today, and we walk together forever. Think about that. Win today, and we walk together forever. Well, the Coyotes, as you know, they never won a cup. But we went through a whole heck of a lot together. So I'd like to amend that chalkboard with a virtual chalkboard circa 2024 as I got a couple of guys to moonlight, Tom Elsner and Josh Kelman, who put this together. And this is my message to you, Coyote fans, who have been there since day one. And it's simply this. I hope you'll enjoy this particular last ode to the Coyotes from my own chalkboard, because we walk together forever as Coyote fans. And that's the story, really. That's my chalkboard.
The whole video is on our Twitter. It's on any, all you do is search is Todd Walsh tribute. But I asked him how he managed to keep it all together as he was sharing his perspective. I don't want to say any more because I want you to hear what he has to say. But yeah, it would definitely remind you fans who've gone through this yourself how much it can hurt and the emotions of watching your team pick up and leave. And then I do have to tell you, because I don't think we're going to include this in part of the replay, the story about Shane Doan's retirement or his banner that was retired. You're not going to believe where they found it. Thanks for joining us. It's a Friday morning. Painful sports relocations, franchises that moved that really made no sense. That's what we're looking for on Twitter at Amy After Hours, and then our Facebook page too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Broberg again. And it goes over the glass. And out of play.
Let's take one more look at that last goal. Matias Maccelli. Ratu with the pass. Down low. 16, 19. He's heating it up, Matias Maccelli, but the hands to knock that down out of midair, get it to the forehand, then to the backhand, and elevate that puck.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
They were loud, they were emotional, they were proud, and they were ticked in the moment on Wednesday night in a college arena. The final farewell to the Arizona Coyotes with a little salt for Salt Lake City. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We had a chance to talk to longtime Coyotes broadcaster Todd Walsh after his emotional tribute went viral that night. It's been seen more than 2 million times. And he was kind enough to share his authentic emotions and raw emotions and his perspective, having been with the team since day one in the late 90s. And we started out by asking him about Jay's going to tell me where we're starting. I'm just going to hem and haw and wait. Suffering succotash. So we're going to get to some of his emotions in the tribute video and how that came to be. But I wanted to know why. And so I posed the question, if you're talking to someone who has no knowledge of the Coyotes, maybe an alien from outer space lands here and you need to explain the situation, what would you tell them about why it came to this?
It's about the economy, stupid. No, I guess that's thank you for laughing at that. To me, it's just a series of mistakes. It is not, I mean, you can put the lion's share of this on the Morello family. There was so many missteps, but you got to go all the way back to the very beginning, year number one, when they were in America West Arena, the Suns Arena, and they obstructed view seats, and they were the second citizen, the second tenant to the Suns. They couldn't put their own signage up, and they were just always chasing their tail. And once that started, and they were dealing with that financial reality, and they were losing money, and all of a sudden, I mean, the drums started beating for this team to leave in year two, I believe, and it was literally at the 11th hour that they didn't go to Portland. There were players that were going to be sent to Portland to look for homes, just Whoa. Like these guys are doing in Salt Lake City and then in Quebec and Kansas City and Houston and Winnipeg and Seattle. And all of those rumors just kept going. So as you look at this thing from 30,000 feet over 28 years, there was never stable ownership, and they never got the arena that they really needed. The Gila River Arena in Glendale was on the west side, and just so hard to get to, not anywhere near the population of their season ticket holders. They won an election in Central Scottsdale, and then the owner at the time was more into real estate, and he wanted to build a mall, and he got free land in Glendale. So I could go on and on and on, but it starts with location, location, location. It starts with just ownership that just wasn't completely dialed in specifically for hockey. That just started to add on top of it. And then finally, the Morello takeover and leaving Glendale Arena and effectively giving them no place to play that was suitable for the National Hockey League. I think it all just kind of just piles on. And then you've got what happened today. The league just couldn't do this anymore. There's no way. And I know the league is desperately in love with this market. They've been so committed to it. I think they'll come back to it at some point. Don't know when. So this is a sports tragedy here in Phoenix, Arizona. And I love what the Diamondbacks president, Derek Hall, said today. This is a wake-up call. We just lost one of the majors. And this is a top 10 market, a top 10 television market, I believe, too.
So, Todd, what's it been like to be with this franchise through the highs and the lows and the uncertainty and everything else? I mean, it's been decades of this.
I never felt certain. I mean, if I can talk to you on a personal, professional level about it, you know, I had a job that I've always wanted, and every single year, it didn't matter if I was under contract or not, the ground was moving and it felt like we were on quicksand all the time. And I would just be so happy when I would show up for opening night because, okay, I know I've got 82 games. But there was just this never-ending drama and passion play that was just unfolding every year. But I always thought that one of the reasons why the Coyotes did have success early on, first of all, they were the new shiny new object in town. It was really exciting. There is a hockey base here. But they were like Avis Rent-A-Car because they tried harder and they knew it.
Aww.
Nothing came easy to them. So they would pound the streets and the pavement for tickets and promotions. And doing everything they possibly could to get people in the building. And my stump speech for hockey is, if you get in the building once, just once, and you see it, and you feel it, and you smell it, and the visual explosion that is a hockey game up close and personal, you're going to come back. And if you can't come back, you might watch it on TV. And that's what we were doing. I mean, it was all hands on deck. I had a stack of tickets that I got, season tickets, that I carried in my bag. And wherever I went, the marching order was, if you see somebody and they recognize you, or they've got a Coyote shirt on or a hat, here, give them a ticket.
Whoa.
I had that for years. I walked around with it looked like a Tony Soprano wad of money in my hand. And if someone said, hey, love the Coyotes, bam. And those were the little things that added up, and then that changed. And then there was a sense of entitlement. There was new ownership and new management where they thought, well, it's Tuesday and Nashville's here. Everyone's going to come. Well, that was wrong. And you can't do that in Arizona. You can't do that in a destination like Phoenix, a resort city. It's just, you've got to hold their attention. And then the other part of it all is, and I didn't even mention this, is winning. And they just had several years of mediocrity and horrendous draft picks, and they never had a complete rebuild and didn't do it right. So that's a very long-winded answer, and I apologize, but it's a complicated story here.
Your goodbye, your ode to the Coyotes, it was also a love letter to fans and to the family, was all of those things into one, and it was then captured in a 5-minute video that has gone viral around the sports world. The number of times it's been shared and viewed, and the reaction, obviously very heartfelt, and a lot of the emotions that you're expressing to us now. But in that moment, how did you keep it together? I think I would have been a basket case.
I don't know. People have asked me that a lot. I've for some reason, I've been fortunate enough to talk about unfortunate moments. And I mean, I don't know why. I guess the only analogy I can make is that I've given, I think, 7 eulogies.
Hmm.
And there's something about when you walk up there and stand there and you're trying to take care of the person that you loved so much and make sure that everybody is okay in the audience, that you become, it's an out-of-body experience. That's all I can say to you as a fellow broadcaster. When I went up there, I just, I knew what I wanted to say, and it was my truth, and I put it together probably 48 hours ago in my head. I walked through it a couple times, and we had so much other activity going on throughout the course of our broadcast. I remember at one point I was like, oh, man. Do I have this? Am I going to do this?
Hmm.
And then when it happened, I mean, I know you've probably felt this, that sometimes it's just an out-of-body experience. And
yes.
I cannot believe, first of all, the fact that you and I are chatting right now is mind-boggling to me. I was on a radio station in Saskatchewan. They're talking about snow reports, and then they came to me to talk about it. I've heard from people across every sport that you can imagine, and it's felt like a kind of a living wake, but I will tell you that it's the greatest blessing I've ever had. I didn't sleep last night. I'm on zero fumes. You're the last human I'm going to talk to today.
Wow.
And I've been able to tell so many people that I love them. And it's been an unbelievable feeling. I've had people reaching out from the first year of the Coyotes to when I was with the Arizona basketball team 1,000 years ago and on, and coaches I've never met. And I've been able to just tell them what they meant to me. And I think that's a great gift. I feel like I said last night, or tried to say, that it's up to us to find something good out of every story, no matter how it ends. And my personal joy is what has just happened today. I don't know how that happened. I do not know how that happened. But I'm glad it happened. I'm not for me. I'm glad for the sport. I'm glad for the people in the sport, and I'm glad for the people here in Arizona that are really hurting right now. And maybe that gave them something that they could find their own joy in. And that's, you know what, if that's what was asked of me somehow from some other power, I'm very happy to have been the vehicle for that.
Todd Walsh, longtime Coyotes broadcaster, with them from day one in various capacities, shares his perspective, his emotions, a lot of the whys behind it that are so tough. And also, speaking for the fans, if you haven't seen that 5-minute tribute that went viral, more than 2 million views now, it's on our show Twitter at Amy After Hours. And we appreciate Todd running on fumes, as he said, up more than 24 hours, giving us his open, honest, raw perspective. All right, coming up this time next week, we will be post first round of the NFL draft. And so to whet your appetite, we're going to turn it into a Football Friday of sorts, because it's Friday and, you know, that means fun.
Good.
Let's have some fun. But I still don't understand how Bill Belichick can have any fun without coffee. But maybe that explains a lot. Oh, my goodness. Your reactions to Bill Belichick never drinking a cup of coffee, cracking me up all day Thursday. Thank you for your humor and sharing it with me.
What do I look like?
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Import, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
Best. Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh my goodness, it's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Dapper from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it.
Yes.
Touchdown. Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We'll be talking about the first round of the NBA, NFL. That ruins everything. Okay, we got to start over. We won't make the voice guide go again, but this time next week, we'll be talking about the first round of the NFL draft, and we'll have more QB news for you, but it's fun to speculate. I got to be honest, I haven't read not even one mock draft because I can't. It's too much. It's over the top. However, I do enjoy the frenzy that takes place thinking about quarterbacks and where they might go. So that's been fun to watch. We know what's happening at number one. Chicago Bears are selecting Caleb Williams. It's not a surprise. What about the Washington Commanders at number two? Their general manager, by way of the Niners, is Adam Peters. He wants us to believe they still don't know.
We're real close. There's still a few more things in the process we have to do. And as you guys may be getting, I'm pretty process-driven, process-oriented. So we have to debrief on our 30 visits with the whole staff, talk about everybody there. We haven't done that yet. And then later tonight we have a medical meeting as well to go over all the medicals in the combine and get that information as well and just ask pointed questions if there are any. On certain players, if we have some questions on that, so So we have a few more things. DQ and I will huddle up and probably have an answer really sometime next week.
Okay. I suppose they're still considering all of their options very carefully. Is this a little bit like going on Expedia and searching for flights and you have to narrow it down based on all the specs? Nonstop round trip, how long the flight takes, where you can get a seat, if you can upgrade, check how baggage. Much do you have to pay for checked baggage, which cities you fly through. Man, it's quite a draft board for the Washington Commanders.
Hope he figures it out by next week.
Yeah, we're getting to the point where time is of the essence. All right, well, then at number two, that's certainly going to determine some of the options for the teams that come after. New England's director of scouting is Elliot Wolf, and the Patriots at number three, well, they say the same thing. They're not even locked into using that pick. They have options.
We're open to anything, moving up, moving down. We're open for business in the first round and in every round. We have some holes we feel like we need to fill in the draft, and we're a draft and develop team. The more picks we have, the better. But if there's an opportunity to move up and strike, if the board kind of recommends it, then we won't be afraid to pull the trigger on that either.
All right. I don't like all of this. It's speculation. It's throwing stuff out there into the universe. Probably a lot of it's running interference and not even true anyway. This is one of the reasons why I don't enjoy the months leading up to the draft. Producer Jay saw a headline on Thursday that said what, Jay?
It was a mock draft, and it said Jaguars will trade Trevor Lawrence to the Bears for the number one pick.
Uh-huh.
That's where we're at.
All right. That's what's happening now. We're making up storylines. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. A week away. Actually, not even a week away, but a week away from our going through, sifting through the rubble, if you will, of the first round of the NFL draft. Okay, so no definitive choices at number two or number three. What about the Chargers? They're not going after a quarterback, of course. GM Joe Ortiz, what are you guys doing at number five?
It's best player available. I think we want to, like I said, we want to add depth. And, certainly there's some positions, that we don't need, quote unquote need in quotations, but you're one, like I said, you're one play away from needing a position. So if you look at it based on need, you're never one player away ever, and I've learned that from my predecessors, Ozzie Newsome and Eric DaCosta. And I believe that. And so you get a chance to add a great player, you add him.
I guess it's a relief that they don't need a quarterback, except there are teams that may try to trade with the Chargers to leapfrog the teams behind them that need quarterbacks. For instance, you've got kind of 12, 13, 14, that area, some teams that need QBs. So I can imagine Joe is open for business right up until the point at which they make that number five selection, if they make that number five selection. How about number six and the New York Giants? Well, Joe Shane, who is the general manager, admits the issue with moving up is that you're going to have to pay a premium, especially when it's moving up to select a quarterback.
Yeah, I would say that's probably true, Dan. I would say that's true. Like if people know what you're coming up for, depending, again, I've been involved with this with Buffalo. It probably wasn't as high, but, I do think Tampa Bay knew what we were doing.
Ha ha. Gamesmanship for the NFL draft. But it's true, though, right? Teams recognize that if you're desperate for a QB, it's a little bit like couples who are getting married. Engaged couples, every vendor out there charges you through the nose because they believe you and your family, she'll do anything. You'll pay a premium because you want the perfect day, which, by the way, there's no such thing. Anyway, you get upcharged like nobody's business. I learned that last year. That's what he's saying about quarterbacks. Do you love my analogy, Producer Jay?
That was good.
No one in the history of sports radio has ever used a wedding planning analogy to talk about trading for quarterbacks in the draft. Are you confident that that's a true and accurate statement?
That was elite.
Thank you. It's just because I went through it myself most recently. Anyway, yeah, if a team knows you're moving up to get a franchise QB, damn straight they're going to charge you extra for it because you're desperate. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I was not desperate. I wasn't desperate. We cut a lot of corners, but it was crazy how much they charged extra when they know you're getting married. The happy couple will do anything for our perfect day.
Anything.
Including going bankrupt.
Anything.
All right. So that's at number six. And we did hear from Daniel Jones earlier in the week that he still believes he's the best option. Good for him. Rehabbing from that ACL. All right, so then we move down to number 12, where you've got Sean Payton and George Payton, no relation, trying to get this number 12 pick right. And they still aren't really tipping their hand about a QB, but they also don't have one.
Do we have to draft a quarterback? You'd say, man, it sure looks like we have to draft a quarterback.
Sure,
and
looks
yet,
like it.
it's got to be the right fit, the right one. And if we had the tip sheets as to who everyone else was taking, it'd be easier to answer that question.
Right.
And so that's the puzzle here.
What you don't want to do is force it. And, you know, otherwise we'll be in this position next year and the years after. So you want to get the right player at 12. Our first pick we got to hit on, whether it's a quarterback, whether it's a tackle, receiver, you name it. We need to get an impact player.
I love that Sean Payton says, well, it kind of looks like we need to draft a quarterback. And then you hear George Payton say, well, if we don't hit, then we're going to be in this position again. With no real acknowledgement of the elephant in the room. That's why they're in this position. Because they have misfired on pretty much every single quarterback since Peyton Manning retired. And as a fan of the Broncos going back to age 13, trust me when I say this is deja vu. It's exactly what the franchise did in the wake of John Elway's retirement in quarterback purgatory for the better part of 20 years.
My house ain't for sale.
Oh, stop it. They did this to themselves, though. I do not feel badly for them. I have zero sympathy. And honestly, don't know about Sean Payton. Zero sympathy for what they've done. Same thing with the Raiders, right? You trade away your franchise guy in Derek Carr because the new regime doesn't want him. That regime lasts, what, not even 10% as long as Derek Carr lasted with the Raiders franchise. And what happens? They get rid of him only to, what, 6 months later, dump Josh McDaniels. I could have told you that was going to happen. That's exactly what happened in Denver, actually. But I could have told you that was going to happen with no actual foreknowledge of it, just because that's Josh McDaniels. But anyway, I digress. It's water under the bridge, and the AFC West is still trying to figure out some way to knock the Chiefs off the throne. I don't think they're there yet.
Man, it sure looks like we have to draft a quarterback.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, we think we finally come up with a profile photo. Well, the profile photo and the header photo. We feel like we've settled on, it's the big photo, okay? When you go to the page or you go to the app, it's the larger, wider, and it's not really what I want people to say of me. She's larger and wider. It's the larger, wider photo on top. Or in the background, if you will. Producer Jay and I have only tweaked it 6 or 7 times, which is why we're flooding your newsfeed with new photos of Amy Lawrence.
So many. I felt bad.
Oh, no, whatever. The show question of the night is getting a ton of traffic on both Twitter and Facebook. So I want to spend these last couple minutes just running through some of your answers about the most painful relocation in sports franchise history, or maybe one that you just can't let go of. It made no sense to you then. It makes no sense to you now. The Oakland to LA is one that people have cited. Now, these are generational, right? Depending upon your perspective. So not Oakland to Vegas, but the Raiders to LA. So that's one of them that I've seen a bunch of. Eric on Facebook, the Browns, he says they left and the Ravens won the Super Bowl shortly after. No good. Yeah, I can imagine that added insult to injury. Andy says, even though I'm from Maine, the most painful and nonsensical to me is the Chargers going to LA from San Diego. Why is LA in the center of so many of these things? He says, San Diego is such an amazing place, certainly deserves its own team. Qualcomm Stadium was fun to watch a game in. All right. Doug says, I think the Colts move from Baltimore to Indy would have to be the most painful. Sneaking out the middle of the night is pretty chicken, you know what, to me. He disguised it with a bunch of what are the symbols as opposed to the letters. So the analogy, no, not emojis, just symbols, like a number symbol, an ampersand, that kind of thing. Let's see. Mark says, I'll say the Rams move to LA, also Baltimore to Indy. Brandon, the original Charlotte Hornets, we set an attendance record, made playoffs, and were popular enough. The 2 of 5 Monstars were Hornets in Space Jam. Brett goes with the Houston Oilers. James says the Expos for sure. So does Casey. And then Whalers leaving Hartford from Paul. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.